Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've got a great conversation today. There was a piece that showed up in Sojourner's Magazine. It's called The Danger of Wives Submit to Your Husbands in Modern Society. Megan Jordan wrote this piece, and I read it, and I just found it so exciting, so interesting, and it's just loaded with stuff to talk about. I have Megan on the other end, and I'm going to bring Megan on board. Hello, Megan.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, there you go. I'm good. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I can't complain.
Oh, wonderful. I am so excited, and I'm just so appreciative of the piece that you have written, and I'm certain you've stirred up a lot of controversy. You've got some eyebrows raised, but that's all right. First of all, Megan, just tell us a little bit about yourself. What brought you to this, to sharing this piece? Tell us about yourself and what brought you to addressing this issue.
Yeah, so I'm a journalism major. I graduated from the illustrious North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, and I got my master's at Columbia Journalism School. So throughout like the few years in which I've been freelancing, I'm also a teacher, I've noticed that I've been really into covering religion and spiritual studies and kind of just looking at how the culture is changing and how that's also changing, specifically like millennials' faith. So it kind of brought me to write this article. I saw Fantasia's, saw her interview with the Breakfast Club, and it just kind of got me to thinking about how I interact in my own relationships, how my friends are in their marriages, how I witness my parents be in their marriages. And just it kind of brought a question, like when the culture is changing, how does that change theology, or does that change theology, and how can, because in looking at Black women and how they're thriving in their households, and then you have this text to submit unto men, how do we actually do that in practice and in theory? So it was just mainly a question, and I just kind of went from there.
Oh, I think that's fascinating. Now, you say you teach religion. Is it more of a kind of a history of religions approach, kind of a kind of academic kind of thing to it? Is it one that's done that takes a particular a position and advocates for it? Tell me more about your thing that you're doing with teaching religion and spirituality.
So I don't teach religion. I teach middle school English and writing, but I do spend a lot of my writing. So I've been doing a lot of pieces for Sojourners in which I'm covering religion and spirituality.
Okay. That's good. Because I was going to tell you, I just find that fascinating because I do know in my experience, I see most people don't get an opportunity to study religion and philosophy and ethics and those kinds of things until they probably, unless they are in some kind of private, maybe some other kind of parochial school or something, if they're in general, you know, public schools and whatnot, the first time they're going to get a chance to study any of that, it might be at a four-year school that has a pretty strong interest in liberal arts, maybe. But other than that, I just don't know if there's going to actually be a focused, structured, systematic discussion about religion. So I was interested in that. You kind of had me going. But I tell you what, though, I think that you're tell me about the relationships you said with your friends and whatnot. How have they been going with this submission thing? Do the sisters that you're around, do they submit? How does submission look? Do they not submit? Where are they on this issue?
So they see submission and just relationships as a co-partnering thing. Mm-hmm. So if the woman happens to be the strongest cook in the household, then that's what she does. But it's not because she's a woman. So it's just more so about a give and take. And just in looking at my parents, my mom, she did majority of the cooking. But when she didn't cook, my dad stepped in. He did my hair. He also cooked. Typically, he did things that most people might say, like, oh, that's a woman's job. And so they see submission as not a thing to where I have to listen to what, you know, my husband is saying, or that it's a thing to where he's ruling the house and I have the second, authority. It's a thing to where we rule together and it's pretty much an equal system. And you take the lead where your strengths are and vice versa.
How long are they married? Are they still alive or are both still
alive? Yeah, they're still alive.
Okay. How long?
Very much married. They've been married for 26 years.
26 years?
Yes.
Oh, you making, no, I can't. You, wow. That's all right. They've been married 26 years. That's absolutely fascinating. That's good. So what do you take away from the marriage, from your parents' marriage?
So what I take away from it is that just simple finding somebody who you're compatible with and who pretty much is able to strengthen you in the areas where you may see yourself or you may be weakened. And I think that's what partnership is all about. It's not about a person being the head and you kind of being the neck to support that. I think it's more so of a thing to where there's an equal love, an equal respect, and we meet together halfway with that.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, did your mom submit to your to your dad, or your dad submit to your mom? How did that go? How would you describe their kind of partnership?
I would say they did it equally. So wherever my dad may have let in, if he was good, he was a handyman, so he was good at fixing the house. So, you know, my mom, she'll say her vision of this is what I see, mm-hmm. I foresee the yard, and this is how I foresee it looking, and this is what I would like. And my dad, he would take her input, and then he's the master of the yard, so that's what he would do. So it was a thing to where it wasn't a naturally. My dad, they always walked around and say, like, I'm the king, I'm the queen. But it was never a thing to where he ran, you know, the finances in the house, uh-huh. and my mother had to ask him permission for anything. It was a thing to where she had her own finances, he had his own finances, they were equally stable, and then they just worked together in raising me and my brother and also in running the household. So it just kind of just flew, it just kind of, like, you know, went along effortlessly.
Wow. So who was there a final authority in your house when difficult issues came up, when things had to be decided? You know, was there an authority there? How did those issues get resolved?
Right. I feel like I don't know any personal, because they were very good about keeping, you know, I guess those difficult kind of conversations away from my brother and myself. Mm-hmm. But from what I saw, when a decision had to be made, they always found a compromise.
Okay.
And just looking at it for just logistics, like what logically made sense. And sometimes my mother was able to paint that picture more clearly. And sometimes my father was able to paint that picture more clearly. But it wasn't, if we can't reach a decision, this is the man, my dad, he's automatically going to make the decision because he's the man. No, it's just whoever presented the argument that was more logically sound.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, that music means we've got to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I got Megan Jordan. When we come back on the other side, Megan, we're going to jump right into your article. And I want to find out, and I want you to tell the entire universe, why do you think that it's dangerous for women to submit, for wives to submit to their husbands? That's what we're going to talk about. You ready to deal with it on the other side of the break, Megan?
I am.
Okay, we're going to talk about it. Hey, y'all got to go to a break. News and Talk Radio 1380. WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
Wonderful author, writer, journalist, cultural critic on the other end. Her name is Megan Jordan, and she published this wonderful piece that is just challenging our minds and pushing us, you know, to reexamine our thoughts about marriage and roles and relationships and whatnot. And she's with us. Hello, Megan. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. All right. You heard it on the other side of the break. Let's get down with this thing. You were talking about this business of danger of wives submitting to their husbands in society. My question to you is, why is it a danger?
So I'm glad you brought that up. The title, Danger of Wives Submit to Your Husband, if you look at the title, there is quotation marks. So it's not necessarily that it's dangerous for a wife to submit to her husband,
mm-hmm.
but it's more so the theology that that is preached from the pulpit or just in conversation, because it's not the only way of relating. In the piece, I bring up that I'm not mad at the fact that Fantasia submits to her husband. I don't think she's wrong for that. I don't think other women who believe that are wrong. I think it is wrong, though, to preach that, to say that black women or women in general can't find just important relationships or nurturing relationships because they don't submit or they're not submissive, because that's not necessarily every woman's capability. Every man doesn't desire to have a submissive woman. Some men like dominating women. So just in looking at the culture, and then when you look at same-gender loving couples, how does that play out? And they're still very much a part of the church and a part of theology and a part of, they fulfill a lot of these spiritual spaces. So I just think that we have to be careful. And I think the theology to say that wives must submit to their husband, that's the danger, but not a wife submitting to her husband. That's perfectly fine if that's her choice to do so.
Now I'm going to be honest with you. You know I love that kind of conversation. I got to tell you, Megan, you gave me a lot to work with here. Tell me, why is the theology dangerous? Tell me why the theology is dangerous.
I think the theology is dangerous because, you know, just kind of similar to, you know, what I stated, everyone, that's not everyone's family structure, right? So every woman is not a submissive type of woman. And I think that it also excludes the fact that men don't actually always require that for their wives. You have men who are the stay-at-home parent, and they take care of the kids, and the wife, she's the breadwinner. And so it's not the family structure. I don't think that there's a way for us to preach to people to say that this is what your family must look like. This is how the woman must operate. I think it was more so of a, you know, an equal respect is trying to tell us that wives, you know, respect your husband, and husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. But that's not to take for literal translation, is just to, it's kind of like a metaphor of how to, a universal truth, but it's not to say that that's what the family structure must look like. And Reverend Stallworth, he actually brought it up in the piece, but even when you look at, like I said, same gender loving couples, mm-hmm. if you have two men in the home, well, how does that exactly play out? Because there's not technically a wife there, so you have two husbands, and who is the submissive one, and who is the dominating one, and how does that look like?
You know I'm writing notes. I'm doing my best to write notes as fast as I can, because you're just saying so much that I just find so exciting and so interesting. The thing that I like to push you on, though, is clearly, while I'm not going to read into this, I'm going to ask you, do you think there is a place for submission in relationships? How about I put it like that?
Absolutely. It's not to say that submission is a negative thing. It's just saying that that's not the only way, and that doesn't look the same for every family. And so it's more so of a conversation to how do we broaden that? How do we move past the this is what wives must do? Because I do think that men have to learn also how to submit unto their wives, because as you, it's kind of like a running joke, but women always joke that, oh, well, I always have the right answer, and he learns the hard way. So we have to submit ourselves to be able to listen, to heed instruction. Submission doesn't just take place in a relationship, but we submit ourselves as students to listen to teachers. We
and that's true.
Ourselves as congregations to follow the pastor.
That's true.
So it's just a give and take situation.
No, and I think you're right about that, because the thing that I was thinking about, and you've actually kind of stated it, I think that it's virtually impossible to get away from having to submit to have a life where there are absolutely no shall I say constraints or boundaries or limits on what a person can do. We're going to have to submit to somebody at some point, at some time. And to be quite honest with you, I would argue that being able to submit to someone is a sign of a healthy personality. I really wonder about people who have a problem submitting to anybody. I think those are the kind of people you might want to call sociopaths or psychopaths. You know, when you got someone who just can't submit to anybody, that's a very dangerous kind of thing. So I hear what you're saying, but I'm still trying to figure out even that theology. Clearly, wives submitting to husbands, is that the same thing as saying women should submit to men? What do you think?
I think that people have taken the – that's the problem, I think. That's what I'm trying to, I guess, bring out in my piece, is that we look at our culture, how our culture is kind of set up, and when you look at a lot of people who saw or who benefited from men making more than women, when you look back at it, you look at their belief systems, and they probably hold similar beliefs that they are the head person in charge of their household. And the wife.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Has to do this. But mm-hmm. I think it kind of carries over to, not that, I think it carries over into how you actually operate in the real world. So if you come from it from a perspective that my wife must be submissive to me, but I don't have to be equally as submissive, 9 times out of 10, you probably have that belief about that men, this is their place in the world and that they are above women. So if you open up, I notice that men, more so men who open up their, I guess, ideology about how their wife has to interact with them, they also practice that when interacting with other women outside, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes a lot of sense because I do think that a window on how a man will relate to women in society, it to a degree, you look at how he deals with his wife or how he relates to his wife, and I do think that there is some clues there as to, you know, how he would deal with other women. Because I will tell you something, how you see somebody has a lot to do with how you treat them. I really believe that. How you see somebody and your perceptions of them has a lot to do with how you're going to treat them. And if you see a woman as someone who is just biologically using a term that's prevalent in the theological and philosophical language, ontologically kind of inferior, then that means you're going to behave in a way, I think, that could be somewhat demeaning, you know, that could be somewhat insulting. That's just Bennett. That's what I think. So I do think that clearly watching how men interact towards their wives is an example of is a window on how they might deal with women in the broader society. Hey, you know what the music means. Got to go to a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to keep on talking about Megan's piece. Megan, I tell you what I want to do, though. I want to push the envelope just a little bit more, and I want to really pick your brain about what you think we can do to deal with this issue about roles in relationships. Should roles be in relationships? How do we go about deciding them? I want to hear what you think about that. You want to share that with us on the other side of the break?
For sure.
All right, Megan. All right, don't you go anywhere. Hey, y'all, listen, got Megan on the other side of this conversation. Got a lot to talk about. Whew, time going fast. News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
Megan, I got you on the other end, and you should know that we talk about you. We read what you write, and we discuss you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you got us to going down here in Atlanta, and I'm just so happy because this is what Aggies do. You write about things, you critique things, you analyze things, and I'm just so excited about what you have written. I want to ask you some more things because I want to make sure we have some time to go to some callers, because I got to tell you right now, Megan, the lines are lit. We have some callers who are waiting to talk with you. And I want to make sure that you get a chance to respond to some of the questions that they have. Now, you kind of heard Amanda talking earlier about roles, and that's kind of what I wanted to push you on, about roles in relationships. If there is a danger of this theology of women, and I say wives, of wives submitting to their husbands. Should there should there be roles in marriages or in relationships? And I mean, how do we deal with that issue? Do you think roles should be there? And well, let me just ask that. What do you think about that? Should there be roles in relationships?
Everybody has a role to play in the relationship. I don't think it needs to be based upon a person's gender. So typically, women are in the kitchen or they are the cooks because they are the women. I don't think it should actually go that way, but I think it has to be based upon who is strong in what area. So if, let's say, one person, the woman probably makes more money than the man makes, but the man may be a better budgeter. So he is the one who, he knows what's in the account, this is how, what we're spending, et cetera, and they work together on that aspect. I don't think it has to be in every household, this is what your role should be and this is what your role, because relationships don't work that way. And relationships are fluid and it's based upon those two individual people. So I think whatever the needs of the household is, they should decide their roles and who's stronger in which area and take it from there.
Okay. So then with our sons and our daughters, then I'm wondering then, should we rear them with that type of understanding that there should be no preconceived notions about roles in relationships? And I want to know what you think about that, because as I read the I was reading your piece here, you was talking about how you, or it was stated here, that you do have an interest in issues that deal with identity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trying to figure out, how do you generate a strong sense of identity or self, or, you know, understanding of who one is in society without talking about roles?
Well, I think as far as like with how we raise our children, I would never say that a person has to raise their children in a certain way. I just had a son in June. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. So the approach that his father and I are planning to take as he gets older is just showing him how to be a responsible adult. He needs to know how to cook. He needs to know how to clean. But he also should be able to be handy in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So I think it's getting away from, because if you also look at a lot of millennials, we're getting married later and later.
Right.
Yes, a lot of my parents have gone off to get married, but there's a lot of millennials who are choosing not to seek marriage. So it's all about being a responsible adult. And when you come to someone, you probably have, you know, a single person who you've been single for however long, you have the same credentials as your husband or as your wife. And so it's just like, well, where do we go from here? What do you do? Well, what do you enjoy doing? Personally, I don't enjoy to cook. So his father takes the lead in that area, you know? So I think it's just about teaching our children what's best. And I think that there is still a lesson to be learned for people who, it's not to say that people who were raised in households mm-hmm. where the woman took the traditional role of submission, that they were raised wrong. There's a lesson to be learned in that as well. I just don't think that it needs to be preached that this is what a successful family or relationship looks like, because there's many different types of families. There's many different types of way to identify yourself in a relationship. So whatever works best for you and your household, that's what your child is going to be raised under. But as for me in my house, I plan to just teach my son how to be a responsible person, and when he meets his match, whoever that may be, how to balance that energy to find someone. You're not going to be perfect at everything, so who can balance you out? It's all about finding that equal balance and being equally yoked within yourself, but also finding that you're equally yoked with your partner.
Wow. You know what? I think that's interesting. And let me tell you why I think that's interesting. I'm kind of going to circle back a minute here. And when I say circle back a minute here, I was actually captivated, that's probably a better way for me to put it, captivated by the way you phrased something earlier. And when you phrased something earlier, you were saying that in the title of your piece here, that's in Sojourners, that the whole issue about wives submit to your husbands, that being in kind of bracketed or in these, what do you call that, quotation marks, parentheses, I don't know what you call those little marks. I mean, I'm not the English person here. There you go. You got to help, Bennett. I'm not the English person here, so I might not know the right name for them. What I find fascinating is to hear you talk about perhaps one thing we can do about this understanding about roles is just to raise our children, or to at least rear them in such a way boys or girls, young men, young women, where they just develop certain proficiencies, certain skills, and then once mm-hmm. they enter a relationship, then whatever the if an issue arises, whichever person has the skill set that's apropos, you know, that can address that particular thing, then that person handles that particular thing. That's kind of what I hear you saying. But what's interesting mm-hmm. is I'm just find it fascinating that you never said, well, perhaps we need to go back and rethink what we think about the Bible, because earlier you were, and especially in your piece here, you make a claim about the text and about the text being viewed as literature and about the text mm-hmm. emerging from the hands and from the psyche of men. And mm-hmm. and perhaps you were making some claims about rereading the Bible. But what I find interesting is I haven't heard you say, well, you know what, maybe one way to fix this might be for us to raise a hermeneutical issue and go back and look at the Bible differently. I ain't heard you say mm-hmm. nothing about that, girl.
Well, yeah, I still believe that if you're raising your children in a Christian household, everyone is a Christian, so the Bible
right.
is probably going to be the foundation
That's
for the
right.
household.
That's
but
right.
yes, I do believe that if we're talking about from a Christian perspective and where a lot of these ideas come from, one of the things that I feel like was prolific in talking to Reverend Stallworth and the PhD student from Vanderbilt, they confirmed that, you know, when one of the first things that you learn in seminary is that the Bible isn't to be taken literally. And so I think that kind of, it's a controversial statement, I would say. I guess you have to be careful about how you present that information, because you can cause a person to lose faith. But in anything, I feel like it kind of empowers to think kind of beyond or more critically about the Bible and what it's actually okay. saying, and how we could be better servants to the Lord, servants in our household. And so just in looking at that from that aspect, it's not talking directly that, you know, the man should rule over you, like it says in Genesis. But, okay, what does it mean? And Reverend Stallworth, he broke that down beautifully when he said, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's about a mutual respect for that person and what that person contributes to the relationship.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.